So during the mosque attacks, author Mike Grimshaw was putting the finishing touches on his book. It's called Bishops, Boozers, Brethren and Burkas, a cartoon history of religion in New Zealand. Interesting timing because it's a book which shows that hatred and exclusion and religious intolerance and fear of the other runs deep in our society, and that's been reflected and also opposed in cartoons in our print media over the decades. Mike Grimshaw's with me now to talk about some of the cartoons he's collected for his book. Hello there, Mike.
Hello, Jesse.
Interesting project, this one.
Yes, it is. It's one that's sort of a gift that keeps on giving. You keep on finding more and more cartoons the deeper you look and the wider you look. So it's a big topic.
What was your brief?
Basically to look at the way that religion's being engaged with, the way that religion's been opposed, the way that religion's been discussed in our editorial cartoons. And this goes in New Zealand all the way back to the 1860s. So it's a long time.
And an interesting time to be thinking about religion. In fact, there are a couple of really powerful cartoons after those mosque attacks. Toby Morris's This Is Us, and another one that I think popped up on Instagram, there was the hug. Why do these drawings have such an impact in difficult times, do you think?
Yeah, in many ways they say different things. I mean, Toby Morris's cartoon sequence was really powerful because it was more like the traditional editorial cartoon, and it raised critical questions about our society. Mm. The Instagram one wasn't really a cartoon. It was an illustration. I think that's where we have to be careful to differentiate, because the editorial cartoon, which is what I'm concerned with, raises critical questions and doesn't tend to go for empathy. So there's a place for the illustration, but it's really too soon to think about what the editorial cartoon after March 15th might be. Probably the best one was Guy Bodie's one, which had all the hate spewing out of the internet. Mm. And I think that's probably the way that we can start to think about March 15th, in the way it was us. And that's one of the things, I mean, teaching about religion in New Zealand, we have to be aware that the hate that gave rise to March 15th actually circulates every day. You've just got to talk to Maori, Pacifica people, Asian people, especially the ones in Christchurch, as to what their everyday reality is. And this is us. And that's what the cartoons in the book really challenge us on, that we think we are after religion, or we think we are a tolerant country, or we think we're an inclusive country, but very much it's due to how do we fit into the expectations of those who want to set the tone of how we operate. So that's really what we are doing. That's what I was doing in the book, trying to sort of lift the lid on how religion was expressed and debated and encountered in New Zealand, and tell a different story from what's usually been put forward.
And did it make you revisit, look again at the cartoons in your book that dealt with Islam?
Well, yes. I mean, the history of Islam in New Zealand is, in many ways, a really recent one. I think there was only about 2,000 Muslims in New Zealand in about 1980. So I've got a cartoon in there from Sid Scales from the late 1970s, from the Otago Daily Times, when there were concerns about what sheep meat exports to Iran and halal slaughter would actually mean. Then we come up to the debates and discussions that arise out of 9/11, and a lot of that is strongly anti-Islamic in its tone. And then we have the debates in Auckland about burqas, driving, representation of Islamic people in our cartoons is always deeply problematic, because we actually really don't understand religion. And then we have the other side, which is in many ways the way John Key has often been represented, which is strongly anti-Semitic by our cartoonists. So we only often look at one side of the intolerance, but really most religious organizations and peoples and groups have been represented in a very problematic way by our cartoonists, which says something about our problem with religion in New Zealand.
Yeah. When you look at the collection of cartoons as a whole, how does religion tend to be represented, or is it very varied?
We're happy with religion as long as it stays private.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, this is one of the issues from the 1860s. We were happy for religion to be there to support settlers, but we didn't want religion to be there to support Maori and Maori land rights or opposition to settlers attempting to grab Maori land. We're happy for religion to remain private. When it becomes public, someone like Brian Tamaki raises a lot of issues for New Zealand because he raises issues not only as a religious figure, but as a Maori religious figure as well. We have issues with how we respond to Ratana. We have issues how we respond to the Brethren. We have issues how we respond to the rise of Maori spirituality into public life. So there's a whole lot of these issues that we, as long as religion remains private, we're happy. When it becomes public, then we're not quite sure how to deal with it. And so that's often where the intolerance and the racism comes out. But on the other hand, sometimes when religion does become private, it's become public. It's on such things as supporting homophobia or opposing abortion or opposing women's rights. So there are times when religion needs to be called on its problematic aspects as well when it enters public life. So that's what is really happening in this book. It's lifting a different side on a history of New Zealand that we don't really know much about.
Have any favourite cartoons that you came across putting this book together?
Probably one of my favourites was the one with Bob Lowe and Rob Muldoon, where it came out of a famous TV programme that Bob Lowe, the tally vicar, had back in the late 70s. And Muldoon was basically saying, well, I don't create problems for God and he don't create problems for me. And we were quite keen to put that on the cover of the book. But then we realised that actually the memory of New Zealand for many people is that nobody really remembers who Bob Lowe is or even Muldoon these days. So that's quite telling. So one of the things is trying to remember with a cartoon who is represented and how well known are they and how long does the memory of this person stay in the public frame. Someone like Nordmeyer and his Black Budget. Again, where you've got a Presbyterian minister who becomes a minister of finance and creates a sort of a Puritan budget. Great debate at the time, but doesn't really mean anything for people today, which is quite interesting.
And that's sort of the point too, isn't it? That these cartoons give us a view of these figures at the time that we wouldn't otherwise be able to get because they've been forgotten, and certainly some of the prevailing attitudes about them might have been forgotten too.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there's a great figure of the Wowser, who was the Puritan spoil sport who seemed to want to ban everything. And that was a great figure in cartoons from about 1911. He came across in cartoons from Australia and to do with prohibition, but also about the constraints on various activities and enjoyments in New Zealand life. And that figure of the Wowser still sits there in many of our cartoons today. We just don't realise that he was originally a religious figure. He's become a type of social moralist figure that has still pops up in our cartoons in different ways. So once you know the backstory of these figures, it becomes quite interesting to think about how New Zealand's enacted its sort of social and cultural beliefs and history and who can participate and how and why.
Well done. Book's worth purchasing just for the Brian Tamaki chapter. Bishops, Boozers, Brethren and Burkers, Cartoon History of Religion in New Zealand, and author Mike Grimshaw. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Nice to chat.